What a great quote. Those who will not be governed by God shall be ruled by tyrants. Those are the founders of our nation, the men who wrote the Constitution, the men who had foresight, thinking about us down the road. They were not living for themselves. They were living for generations to come. And that's what we're to do, right? Here? Live for the generations to come. We're not to live for ourselves, but we would live for God and then the people that are going to be coming after us. What a great day it is. You know, one of the big emphases in this church is the next generation. Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. And disciples are followers of Christ. So this next generation of new believers and our children need to know history. How many agree with that? And history is being revised today. The secular humanists are trying to eradicate Christianity from every facet of the United States. But that's impossible to do. They can't do that. For number one reason, God is almighty and eternal. And God's word will continue on. Today, we're going to talk about remembering and how important it is to remember. We're going to remember two things this morning. One, what God has done throughout history, because history is His story. His story, what God has done from the creation of time. And secondly, what God has done in salvation through Christ our Lord. So would you turn with me to John chapter 14 this morning, please? Gospel of John chapter 14. This is shortly before Jesus was ready to give His life for us. He was talking to His disciples. And He says something very important here in verse 25, John 14, 25. If you don't have a Bible, make sure you pick one up from the pew in front of you or behind you so you can read along with us today, okay? These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, verse 25. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And Father in heaven, we pause again today to thank you for your word, the eternal word of God. What an honor it is to hold it within our hands. And Lord, you said heaven and earth will pass away, your word will never pass away because it's truth. Father, guide us into all your truth by your Spirit this morning. Let every heart be encouraged here today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The word remember or remembrance there occurs over 300 times in the Bible. Why do you think God emphasizes us to remember so much? Because we tend to forget. We forget. Here, the Holy Spirit will bring to our remembrance everything that Jesus says because it's absolutely paramount for us to remember the words of our Lord in every facet of life, right? But we are so much like children. We're so much like children. That's hard for us as adults to admit, but we're like little children. You know, in the Bible, God never refers to the adults of Israel. He never calls us adults. Not all through the Scripture. What does He call us? His children. And just like children, we start in one direction and we're easily distracted. We know what God wants us to do, but we forget. You know, anybody here know how children are? We've had six children. And you ask them to go clean their room, and 45 minutes later, you hear them outside playing. You go, they couldn't have done it that fast. Oh, I forgot. I forgot. You know, we're just like kids. We need to have the Holy Spirit cause us to remember the things of God. Now, it is pertinent today for us to know the God of history. Our children growing up in schools today are not hearing the truth about our nation. There is revised history right now that's only emphasizing certain things in history, but not the foundations of our land, not even the wars of our land, not even the people that went before us that instilled and secured the freedom that we have today. How many are glad they're in a country that's free? Man, I'm telling you, we were in Nepal a year and a half ago when there was a coup, and the king in Kathmandu, where we were, Ron Whitfield and I and Dave Newell and John Whitfield's back here, we were under house arrest. The king said anybody who comes out of their house will be shot on sight. So we're there, and you know what? I never experienced that before. There's no president ever in the United States that told everybody in the United States, like a tyrant, you will have to stay in your house or be shot on sight. We have no idea what other countries go through here in America because we are so blessed. But when our children grow up not understanding the foundations of our country, it is very easy to develop an attitude of entitlement. Entitlement. Well, I believe I have the right to a job. I believe I have the right to a paycheck. I have the right to drive. You know, I was in court up here in Grand County one time with another guy who was about to lose his license, and he comes before the court, and the judge was talking to him, and he says, "Now, wait a minute. Everybody in America has the right to a driver's license." And the judge leans over his bench with a smile, and he says, "Young man, driving is a privilege, not a right. And you've just lost yours." We need to understand history. Well, let's look at a couple scriptures here today. Turn with me back to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Okay, Old Testament. If you go back there about 3/4 of an inch from Genesis, you'll be close. 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. Okay, we're in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. How important is it to remember history? Well, here, King David was about to bring the Ark of the Covenant to the city. It was a great time in the history of the children of Israel. David became king. All the nations around him were fearful. God was establishing his people. And during the reigns of David and Solomon, that was the pinnacle of the children of Israel's time of flourishing, of blessing, of wealth, of the presence of God and everything. But here David, as they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant in, offered up a prayer of thanksgiving. And listen to what he says under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You're going to find as we read these passages, he's calling the people to remember what God has done in time past, so that they could have hope and strength for the future and all that would be ahead of them. And there's so much in this passage of Scripture we could talk about, but let's just walk through this a little bit. Verse 8, 1 Chronicles 16, verse 8. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Tell of His wondrous works." God expects His people to tell about His wondrous works, to let people know about the truth of God. Every born-again Christian in this room has a story, right? God's Word said, "He who has the Son has the testimony in himself." We've got a story to tell, a story about how God's grace came to us, how He opened our eyes, how He revealed Christ to us, what He's done since, how He's changed our lives. Praise God for that. You know, today, July 1st, 1974, 33 years ago, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. It's my rebirth day today. And I have never recovered from that experience with God. And we got a story to tell that will encourage others. People ask me, "Pastor Doug, what's your evangelistic vision for the county? How are you going to reach people with the good news?" You know what I tell them all the time? My vision is to see people come to Christ one at a time and grow in Christ. And if they come to Christ and grow in Christ and get so much in love with Jesus they cannot keep quiet, then that will affect their families and their marriages and their businesses and where they work. That'll affect the city councils and the government councils that they're working on. And the gospel permeates a society and that society changes. Isn't that awesome? God has given us that privilege, and we are living in very exciting times today. So let's keep going through this passage here because I could get off track. Verse 10, "Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually." God wants us as His people to seek His presence. Where the presence of the Lord is, there is liberty and life and joy. And then verse 12, "Remember the wondrous works that He has done. His miracles and His judgments He uttered. O offspring of Israel, His servant, sons of Jacob, His chosen ones, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth." How many of us believe that? His judgments are in all the earth. He's omnipotent and He's omnipresent. He is everywhere. Remember again, second time, Remember his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations. And so David is saying, remember what God has done. Remember his covenant that came at the creation of time. Remember his covenant that came with Moses and Abraham. Remember God is a God of covenant. He does what he says. He never fails, and nothing's going to thwart his purpose. Hallelujah for that. We serve a God. We are in a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And David was reminding them of these things. He says in verse 18, the Lord says, to you I give the land of Canaan as your portion, as an inheritance. And David is saying, we're standing on that ground. God said he would give it to us, and he did. And he did. And when you were few in number, verse 19, and of little account, and sojourners in the land, wandering from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people, God did not allow, he allowed no one to oppress you. He rebuked kings on your account. Is God Almighty or what? And David was saying, don't you ever forget that it's Almighty God who's in control of our lives. Just like the quote we heard, how can a nation be raised up unless Almighty God does it? Benjamin Franklin. And then he goes on through this passage. He's talking about worshiping the Lord. But then in verse 31, let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice, let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. How many believe the Lord reigns? That means he's sovereign and he's in control. It doesn't matter how bad the world seems it is. It's been bad before. And it doesn't matter if people want Christians to be quiet. It's okay to have a faith, the secular humanists say. It's okay to believe in God, but just keep it private. Keep it within the four walls of your church, and don't you dare bring it into the public sector of life. That's what the secular humanists want today. So they want to control the public sector. You know who controls the public sector? God controls the public sector. And we can share his truth unabashedly in America. In history past, many people tried to eradicate Christianity from the face of the earth. In the year 303, 3rd century, a Roman emperor named Diocletian issued a command to destroy both the Christians and the Scriptures, their sacred book. In response to this command and edict, Roman soldiers went throughout the entire empire, burning churches to the ground, burning the Scriptures, persecuting and killing the Christians, as many as they could find, all the Bibles that they could destroy, all the Christians and the buildings. And it says that they wanted to free their empire from the hated curse of Christianity and the Bible. And you know, that's how the secular humanists and atheists are today. We're a curse to them. But 25 years after Diocletian died, another emperor rose up. His name was Constantine. The emperor that followed Diocletian commissioned Eusebius, who was one of the Christian forefathers, to prepare 50 copies of Scripture at the government's expense. Diocletian went by the wayside. The Word of God did not go by the wayside. Another powerful writer in 1778, his name was Voltaire. He was a noted French skeptic and unbeliever. He predicted in 1778 that in 100 years, from his time, Christianity would be swept from existence and pass into history. Now, it's easy for any man to say that, especially powerful speakers, powerful leaders, leaders that people will follow. Anybody can make a statement like that, right? 100 years, you won't have to worry about Christians. They're going to be gone. Well, what happened? 50 years after his death, the Geneva Bible Society moved into his house and used his printing press to produce thousands of Bible that were distributed worldwide. Isn't that awesome? You talk about irony. Talk about irony. Voltaire passed into history. God's Word did not pass into history. That gives us hope. We need to know how God has worked in the past in order to give us confidence and hope for the time we live in and to give our children hope for the future. Praise God, our children can know the truth about God's Word. One of the most devastating false teachings that we have in our country today is evolution. Teaching our children that they evolved by happenstance from some distant primordial soup. There's no real reason for their existence. We have no idea the destruction in our country that has been permeated by that lie. Praise God, our children can grow up knowing they were created by Almighty God and created special in His image with a plan and a purpose and a destiny and a design for their life. God doesn't change. Malachi chapter 3 in your notes, I, the Lord, do not change, says God. What He's done in history, He's doing today, and will continue to. Jesus Christ is the same. How often? Yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away. All the teachers will pass away. All the books that are written will pass away. But my word will not pass away. That's the scriptures. We can stand on this because it's eternal truth. Now, this coming Wednesday, we're celebrating the 4th of July. We're celebrating the founding of our country. And some things that we have to understand, and I pray this week we'll talk about with our children, so they'll know that God has been involved in all of the nations. He raises up one, He brings another down. He's Almighty God. He has a plan, and He's had that plan since before the creation of the world. And His plan is right on schedule. Our plans aren't, but His plan is. Nothing can thwart His purpose. He's Almighty God. Our nation begins not in 1776, but more than 160 years earlier in a small outpost called Jamestown. How many here have ever been to Jamestown? Each service, several people have been to Jamestown. That's a great trip. You know what a great trip is? Take your kids back east. Let them see the Christian heritage of our nation. Because they're being told our nation was not Christian when it started. You go to Jamestown, and you go to churches around there, or Williamsburg, or D.C., and you find tombs. Marty and I like to read epitaphs in cemeteries. Does that sound morbid? It's not. Because you learn a lot about history doing that. And here's a tomb by one of those churches where there were many people buried in that. And you know what it says on the epitaph? The hand of judgment of Almighty God has come upon us with this plague. They recognized God was a God of life. He was also the God of judgment. And because of the materialistic viewpoint of some of the pilgrims, they felt God was judging them for that. Why is it that on the Washington Monument, on the east side, in Latin, you know what it says? Glory to God. All the way up the Washington Monument, scriptures on the walls, blasted into granite. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he grows old, he will not depart from it. Our children need to know the history of our nation, what God has been working all along. I thank the Lord for Gary DeMar. He's compiled some great material here. Most Americans know that the pilgrims landed in 1607. They don't know why the pilgrims landed in 1607. But look what it says. Their original charter has these words in it. The providence of Almighty God and the glory of His divine majesty to bring the Christian religion to those who yet live in darkness and in the miserable ignorance of the true knowledge and worship of God. That's what they came here to do, to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. The first printing press in American colonies was set up in Cambridge about 25 years later, and from it was issued the first book. You know what the first book was? Was it a fairy tale? No. Was it somebody's writing? No. You know what it was? It was the Book of Psalms. The first book off the press. This was the title of it. The whole Book of Psalms, faithfully translated into English. In 1892, and I love this one, there was a case that went all the way to the Supreme Court. And in that case, that was entitled The Church of the Holy Trinity versus the United States, that America was a Christian nation from its earlier days. That was what this case was all about. The court opinion delivered by Justice David Brewer was an exhaustive study of the historical and legal evidence for Americans' Christian heritage. After examining hundreds of court cases, state constitutions, and other historical documents, the court came to the following conclusion, 1892. Our laws and our institutions must necessarily be based upon and embody the teachings of the Redeemer of mankind. Supreme Court. It is impossible that it should be otherwise. And in this sense, and to this extent, our civilization and our institutions are emphatically Christian. This is a religious people. This is historically true. From the discovery of this continent to the present hour, there is a single voice making this affirmation. We find everywhere a clear recognition of the same truth. These and many other matters which might be noticed add a volume of unofficial declarations to the mass of organic utterances that this is indeed a Christian nation. In your notes, I copy Gary DeMar's list of the starting phrases of every constitution of every state in the Union. And I thought this would be very encouraging to us today. Every state. Listen to what the states have written as the first line of their state constitutions. Alabama. We, the people of the state of Alabama, invoking the favor and guidance of Almighty God, do ordain and establish the following constitution. Do you think they had any semblance of a belief in God at that time? Alaska. We, the people of Alaska, grateful to God and to those who founded our nation and pioneered this great land, do establish this constitution. Is that awesome or what? You think our children need to know these things? Colorado. Let's look at Colorado. We, the people of Colorado, with profound reverence for the supreme ruler of the universe, do establish this constitution. Profound reverence. Idaho. I'm just picking a few as we go down. You can read them all. They all say basically the same. We, the people of the state of Idaho, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom and to secure His blessings upon this state, do establish this constitution today. They're looking to God for guidance. They're praying. How would you like to be a part of some of those committees? No? Saying, God, we need your strength. God, we need you to show us how to govern this people. God, we need to put down the laws that are going to increase the welfare of our state. Because they understand that the Bible says, God says, obey my word that it might go well with you. God wants it to go well with us. But when we deny his word, push his word aside, things are not going to go well with us. And they knew that, so they're establishing these constitutions. Kansas. We, the people of Kansas, grateful to Almighty God for our civil and religious rights? No, privileges. Establish this constitution. They understood. Maine, look at this. Maine is in a huge battle of liberalism right now. We, the people of Maine, acknowledging with grateful hearts the goodness of the sovereign ruler of the universe in affording us an opportunity and imploring his aid and his direction, establish this constitution. Wow. I got to read Nebraska's here. We got so many people from Nebraska in our church. We the people, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom, establish this constitution. Last one, Rhode Island. We the people of the state of Rhode Island, grateful to Almighty God for the civil and religious liberty that He has so long permitted us to enjoy. What great wording. What great wording. He's permitted us to enjoy the liberty that we have. And looking to Him for blessing, we establish this constitution. Is it important for our kids to know how God has worked throughout all of history? Absolutely. So that they're grateful to God and for the reason that it gives us hope for the future. The same God that has been working continues to work. And He's working all over the world. Cicero, I love this quote by Cicero, to be ignorant of what happened before you were born is to remain a child forever. To be ignorant of what happened before you were born is to remain a child forever. A child, naive. A child that doesn't really know the truth. A child that's following anybody who will give him a toy. Do we want to raise up a generation like that? Or children who understand Almighty God and understand the true history of our country and give God glory and praise and for their lives also. Secondly, God's work through salvation. Throughout all of history, He has called Himself a people for Himself. Called to Himself a people for Himself. And praise God for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. How many are born-again Christians here and are thankful to that? Wow. We have a testimony to share about God's glory. Do any of us deserve it? No. Not in the least. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We have three more scriptures here. This is so exciting for me. I wish I had a voice that could express that today. 2 Timothy was written to this young man by the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to encourage him through difficult times. Ephesus, where Timothy was a leader of, was going through some very difficult times. And there was going to be harder times coming in the future. Look at 2 Timothy 3 before we go into chapter 2. Here Paul is setting the stage and he's telling Timothy what it is, all right? He's laying it out there. He says, Timothy, understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. Are we in times of difficulty today? Oh, yeah. Now, tell me if this doesn't read like the Rocky Mountain News today as far as the attitude of people in America. Paul says, in the last days, in the coming times, there will be times of difficulty. For peoples will be lovers of self. Well, that doesn't happen here, does it? Lovers of money. No one in America pursues money only, do they? Money's the answer to everything. If I could just win the lottery, we would have a healed marriage and we'd have children who would be great and it would help our family. Oh, the lottery is my answer. Of course, I don't play unless it's up at $200 million. But after that, I'm throwing them in there. Lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Kids, you see that there with all this list, disobedient to their parents? Does God want us to honor our father and our mother? Yes, yes. Today, what our kids are getting in the educational system is honor the state. Because your parents aren't very smart. We're the ones who can teach you. We're the ones who can mold your life. If your parents aren't in agree with what's going on here, it's okay. They don't understand. You know what the Bible says? You honor your father and your mother. They're ordained by God. Disobedient to parents is right in this list. Ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit. Ooh, that's not around here, is it? Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And this is the clincher. Having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. There are more spiritually inclined people today than ever in the United States. Want some kind of spiritual experience out there. They have a form of that, but there's no power because there's life only in Jesus Christ. Avoid such people, Timothy. So then you go back to Timothy chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 2, one page back, and three very important words that Paul then tells Timothy. He says in verse 8, remember Jesus Christ. There's that word remember again. Remember Jesus Christ. With everything that's going on around you, and all the storms that's going on, and all the disappointments, and all the hurts, and all the wounds, and everything else, remember Jesus Christ. Why? Because he never changes. He's risen from the dead. He is Almighty God, and we have a living hope for whatever comes our way. Amen? Here it is. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound! Exclamation point. It doesn't matter if Paul was in prison, the word was free. When he was in Rome, Paul writes and says, the entire guard, all the Roman Praetorian guard, has heard the good news of the gospel. How did they do that when he was in prison? Because those guards had to come down and chain themselves to Paul. Was Paul chained to them or were they chained to Paul? They were chained to Paul because, we got to go down there with Paul again here, you know. And then they heard the gospel over and over again, and all the guard heard the gospel. Stephen Kurt reminded us last week, our missionary to Burundi, that there's more Christians coming to Christ today than in all of history combined. That's a true statement. We have no idea of the millions upon millions upon millions of people that are giving their lives to Christ today in China. We can't even get our hands around that. And in Africa and in South America. You know, right now it's estimated 70% of Argentina are evangelical Christians. They have had a tremendous revival in Argentina. When we were in Nepal, I was telling you about Kathmandu under house arrest. Well, as a result of that coup, the king had to step down. Nepal was the only state that was an entirely Hindu state until that time. When the new regime came up, they said, we don't want to be a Hindu state anymore. We're allowing the freedom of religion. which took the tremendous pressure off the missionaries that were there. That just happened. God is moving throughout all the earth. Is that good news or what? We get into our little world with our little problems. You know, we forget the big picture. We got to know the big picture. That's why the Bible says, remember what God's done through all of history in order to have faith and hope and confidence in Him for the future. Two more scriptures here. Let's just turn to Luke chapter 22 before we go into communion today, because we're going to celebrate the greatness of God in communion. That's what Jesus wanted us to do. And why do we have communion? Why do we have the Lord's Supper? Why do we partake of it as a church family? Because Jesus has given us this point of reference, lest we ever forget what He did on the cross for us. Here it says in verse 14, Luke 22, "And when the hour had come, Jesus reclined at table and the apostles with Him. And He said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' And He took a cup, and when He had given thanks, He said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.'" And that's what we're going to do, remember. And every time we take communion, the Bible says that that cup is the cup of thanksgiving. We thank God that it represents the blood of Jesus Christ that has paid the price for our sin and satisfied the wrath of God on our behalf, that we might stand in justification before Him with an eternal life. The blood of Jesus. And that bread represents His body, the bread of life. And so that's what we're doing. And in 1 Corinthians 11, it says, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes again." We're looking for the second coming of Jesus Christ. We're living in exciting times right now. So as we go into communion, communion is for believers. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ today, do not take communion, because it's a very serious offense against Almighty God to do that. Okay? But as believers, we want to participate as a church family and thank God for what He's done through His life, through His death, and through His resurrection, through His shed blood on the cross. And the Bible says to examine ourselves. If there's anything in our lives that are contrary to His word, if we're in sin in any area, now's the time to say, "Father, thank You for Your blood. Thank You for forgiveness. I confess to You right now. I do not want to participate without my heart being clean before You through Christ our Lord." Father in heaven, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for the time in Your word. Oh God, Your word is true. Thank You for encouraging our hearts. Thank You, oh Lord, that You are absolutely immutable. You never change. Thank You, oh God, that You are sovereign over all the earth. Nothing is out of Your sight. Nothing is out of Your control. You raise one up, You put another down. You raise one nation up, You put it down. All things are working according to Your plan and Your eternal purpose. We thank You and praise You for that. We don't understand it all, but we trust You. Let every heart take courage today. And let our children, oh God, have a hunger to know You and Your word and Your truth. So, Lord, we celebrate the Lord's table this morning. We come with grateful hearts today. Be honored and exalted in our midst, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask our elders and the guys that are going to help us this morning to come. We have four stations here, and what we're going to do today is we're going to have people come forward, and we're going to serve you communion and pray for you this morning while Mark and Karen lead us in some worship songs. And let's just keep a meditative worship heart before God right now, because His presence is here, okay? We're just going to set up, and then you come.
To the river I am going, bearing a sense I cannot bear. Come and cleanse me, come forgive me, Lord, I need to meet You there. Waters, healing mercy flows with freedom and despair. and I am going to that river. Lord, I need to meet you there. Precious Jesus, I am ready to surrender every care. Take my hand now, lead me closer. Lord, I need to meet you there. Come and join us in the river. Come find life uncompared. He is calling, He is waiting. Jesus longs to meet you there. He is calling, He is waiting. Jesus longs to meet you there. Precious Jesus, I am ready to surrender every care. So take my hand now and lead me close. Precious Jesus, I am ready to surrender every care. Take my hand now, lead me closer. Lord, I need to meet you there. Take my hand. That I have done, nothing but Jesus, all for Jesus, all I have and have and ever hope to be. He's clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice. All the earth rejoice. And he wraps himself in light. And darkness tries to hide. And trembles at his voice. Trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? Oh, see how great is our God? It's age to age he stands. Time is in his hands, beginning at the end, beginning at the end. God had three in one, and Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, Lion and the Lamb. Is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? Oh, see how great is our God. Name above all names. Name above all names. He's worthy, and He is worthy. Sing with me, how great is
is our God, and all will see how great, and how great is our God. And how great is our God, and sing with me how great is our God. And so we'll see how great is our God.
Praise his name.